Amen. Amen. It's so wonderful to see you this morning. Thanks for coming. You're at the best place. You know, when we're in the Cape, we used to say you could be at the sea, you could be any other place, but I guess in Bloemfontein, you wouldn't be at the sea on a Sunday morning, but church is better than the sea. Amen. Or the mountains. People in Bloemfontein should come to church because there's nothing else to do. Any joke. I love this place. I trust you do too. So some of the students just want to get out of this place, like 4 years or 5 years, and we just want to leave. Right? But Bloemfontein's got amazing people. Amen. And God is here. You know, God is moving in our city. God really wants to change this nation, and He wants to change the city as well. He wants to move. So who's excited for the kingdom of God to come? This morning, it's wonderful to have Tim in the house. Let's give Tim a hand. He's visiting us this morning. Tim is in Pretoria now, and he was such an integral part of helping us build this church, and God really used him mightily, and we, you know, we're sending our best. It just seems weird. We send our best people away. But Tim, it's nice to have you back, and then some other visitors here this morning. It's wonderful to see you guys. This morning, I want to talk about, we're doing a series on celebrating life, and you know, when it's easy to celebrate life when things are going well, and so last week I talked about celebrating our weaknesses, you know, some things we don't want to always face. When we're weak, you know, we don't want to celebrate that, because let's celebrate our strengths rather. The previous, a couple of Sundays ago, I talked just about celebrating people, because that's what God wants us to do, is to celebrate people in their brokenness and in their weakness. And this morning, I want to talk about something which I really believe God wants to speak to us about. And I don't know where you are at the moment, if you're going through a tough time or not, but I want you to think about the toughest time that you've been through in your life before. I want you to think back to, or maybe even right now, you don't have to think back, because right now you're going through this challenge in your life, you're so uncertain, and life is tough and it's struggling. But I want you to think back, if you're not going through a challenging time now, I want you to think back to, maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you lost a job, or maybe you were sick, and or maybe you're financially struggling, or you struggled at a time. I don't know what the toughest thing is that you've been through in your life. But I know there's some people that have been through tough times when, you know, you hear stories of children. In fact, yeah, in Bloemfontein, I heard a story about a child being driven over by a parent who was reversing a 1.5-year-old child, same age as our little Nathan, at the back of the car, and the person didn't see, and driving over a child, you know, killing your own child. I mean, that must be, I can't think of much things worse, or many things worse in life than killing your own child. You know, I think back to Angus Buchan's story when he rode over his nephew with a tractor on the farm, and the guy died, the little boy died. His name was Alistair, actually. And, yeah, I mean, I think the pain of going through that, the suffering and the regret and all the stuff, you know. I don't know, I can go on, you know, talking about suffering and talking about tough times. And then we ask the question, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, have you ever heard that question? Why do bad things happen to Christians? Why do we have to go through tough times? And then we can ask the question, why do some people seem to have more tough times than others? You know, why does life seem unfair? Or maybe you asking the question, why do you have to suffer more than someone else? Or why is your life more difficult than someone else? And I sort of put the "more" in inverted commas, because how do you know what other people are suffering? You know, do you think you're suffering more than others, or do you think your times are tougher than other people? Maybe you think that, and it doesn't matter what you're thinking. I'm just asking some questions. Then I've heard a saying that goes like this: tough times don't last, but tough people do. You know, well, what are tough people? What times are really tough? See, I think whether you're a believer this morning, you know, because I like to talk to people as if they don't believe, because I want people to get a hunger for the truth. But whether you believe this morning or whether you don't believe, if you've just lived life more than a few years, you will realize life is tough. Isn't that so? Life is not easy. I think all of us experience tough times. I think if we have to hear all the stories here this morning of people going through challenges, I think you'll be amazed at what people have gone through. So there's always going to be tough times, pain and suffering and sickness and disasters and broken hearts and mistakes and regret, etc., etc. We can go on with tough times. Life is tough. Life isn't easy. So the question I want to ask us this morning, is there any benefit from tough times? You know, why tough times? Why difficult times? Why hardships? Is there any benefit out of this? Why do we have to go through it? And then another question is, how should we respond to difficult times in our lives? See, I want to ask you to think back to that, the toughest time that you've had. How did you handle that? And how are you handling it at the moment? If there's a tough time in your life, how are you handling it? And are you happy with the way that you have handled or are handling a difficult time in your life? Do you feel that is the best way to handle it? See, there is a response to tough times. There's a response to challenges. And the Bible is full of it. So I'm going to look at that this morning. I want to look at the response that we should give to when difficult times hit us and when tough times come along. Because I think we're all going to have to respond sometime. Maybe you need to respond right now. Maybe this morning you need to be reminded of how to respond when life isn't so easy. Isn't that so? And I'm here talking about, when I talk about tough times, I'm talking about anything that's challenging you, any difficult time. It could be a small little challenge or a massive challenge like losing a loved one or suffering or being sick, and continuously sick and you're struggling. Talking about any time, that's why I just call it tough times, because it's just a general thing. So I think the Bible gives us so many clues as to how to handle this. Amen. The Word of God is full of answers. It's full of answers for life, because that's just who God is. He's come to give us life, isn't that so? So what does the Bible say? What is the response that we should give? And I've taken some scriptures here from three different writers. Isn't that amazing? James, Peter, and Paul. Three amazing guys that lived for Christ. Three guys that laid down their lives for the cause of Christ and that wrote certain truths that it's amazing when you read these three passages, it's like they say the same thing. And I think if God says something three times, I think we should listen and I think we should obey. Wouldn't you agree? You know, like in the Bible, if it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, or you know, when God says something twice, behold, behold, or a couple of things throughout the Bible, He says it twice. I think we should know that He's speaking. And I think if He says it through people three times, and I guess it said more in the Bible, I just don't have enough time. I don't want to keep you guys too long with Scripture this morning. But I just want to give you a taste of what the Bible says when it comes to tough times and how we should respond. James chapter 1 verse 2 says the following. Consider it a great joy, my brothers. So is he talking to us this morning? I think he's talking to us. Maybe you're not a brother or a sister yet, but I believe you this morning because you want to know about God. You want to know more about God. So he's talking here and he's saying, consider it a great joy. Turn to someone next to you and say, great joy. Whenever you experience various trials. Sure. Consider it a great joy whenever you experience various trials. So, yeah, he's writing, and all three of these writers are talking about persecution. Okay, so persecution, by the way, is also something I'm talking about this morning. But in the West, I guess we don't have a clue. We don't have a reference for persecution. Okay, so I'm not assuming that you know how to handle persecution, but I'm assuming that you've experienced a different type of challenge. It might not be persecution. It might just be the challenge of life. And I'm not saying we have to experience persecution to know what these writers are talking about, because they were writing to those people there. Okay, that's how the Bible is. It's written to those people, but it's for us. Okay, it's not primarily written to us. I think if we have to write the Bible in the modern day, we'd write in the Western world, we'd write about how to handle, you know, rejection or something like that, or how to handle, not having a cell phone, you know, or feeling like. Not feeling like part of the modern world or something like that. That would be the tough time for today. I don't know. What do you guys think? What are the tough times that we live in today? In the West now, the East has persecution. So they can identify with this because the first Christians were hectically persecuted. But we in South Africa don't really fully understand. Maybe persecution is coming. I don't know. But I believe we can also say that various trials talks about suffering and just sickness and the fallenness of the world. Okay. But he says, consider it great joy. So I believe whatever trials we experience, doesn't have to be persecution, any challenges in life, we must consider it great joy when we experience these trials. That's what I believe. That's our response. Look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 3. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. So turn to someone next to you and say, full of joy now. Let us be full of joy. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our suffering. Sure, that's amazing. So there's troubles, there's sufferings, there's challenges. Let us rejoice. See, so no matter who you are or where you live, tough times are going to happen to all of us. Okay? I think that's a given. We must know that there's something that's going to happen to us at some time in life, and it's not always going to be nice, but there's a response. And Peter says it well as well in 1 Peter 4:12. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial which is coming upon you. So I don't know about you. I don't know if you're like, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, okay? So when things go wrong, you know, for me, it's not nice because I want life to be calculated. I want life to work. I want life to be nice and you know, predictable. And if things go wrong, it's just not nice, isn't it? So for most of us fallen people, but I guess for me, it's even tougher, you know, when things don't go perfectly according to like the perfect life, you know, then it's not so nice. So we get shaken a little bit and we get so frustrated, you know. And it says here, don't be surprised when tough times come upon you, because they will test you. Don't be surprised when they come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. It's not strange that we go through tough times. So I want to encourage someone here this morning. If you're going through a tough time right now, or want to encourage people who are going through a good time, when you get to your next tough time, because I want to tell you it's coming, challenges will come. Then rejoice. Okay? Rejoice. Great joy. Full of joy. Not surprised. Why do tough times happen? I just want to look at a few things here. Because the first thing is, tough times happen because of our own sinful nature, which leads to bad choices and mistakes and etc. And I want to say this morning that is not a place to rejoice. Okay, do not rejoice in your sin. Amen. So he's not talking here about when you've been sinful and you've deliberately made a bad choice and you've made a mistake because of your sin. You know what you need to do there? Don't rejoice. The first thing you need to do is repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. Okay? So let's just get that straight, because you know the young people these days, oh, it's a tough time because now I've fallen into sin and so I'm going through a tough time. No, don't rejoice in that, because you'll just go on sinning. Rejoice. So he's not saying rejoice when you've sinned. Okay? Our own sinful nature does lead to tough times, but I want to say, first of all, that needs repentance. God will forgive you. God will sort you out. But tough times happen because of that. Okay, tough times happen because of the fallen world that we live in. So it's nothing to do with your mistake or what you did wrong. It's just because we live in a fallen world. So tough times happen because of the world we live in. And our just to tell you a story, the other day now, and I don't want to put my wife in a bad spot today, but so she had a bit of a mishap with our car, okay? Wasn't a sin. Definitely wasn't a sin on her part. She's a very good driver. She's very diligent. Sometimes she moves quite fast. She's got a heavy foot, and so she gets from one place to another. She's a mover and a shaker. She does stuff. She gets stuff done, okay? But it wasn't a mistake of her. She just happened to take the corner at the petrol station a little bit too quickly when she was pulling away. And so, you know, the whole side door of our big car was dented in and stuff. And it needs quite a lot of repairs. Okay? So she phones me with fear and trembling, knowing that the type of person I am. You know, I don't respond to tough times very well, I guess, you know. But, I just said to her, just chill. It's okay. It happened. I've grown, by the way, because a couple of years before that, if she had done, I would have freaked out and blamed her and all of that stuff. But I have grown a little bit. I'm not far from perfect, but so I really said to her, it's fine. But you know what was challenging is it was the month before we had just negotiated with our insurance that we're going to pay no excess for any damage, and so literally from next month on we'll be paying no excess if something happens. But you know, for this mistake, we'll be paying a bit of excess. So it makes it even more challenging, because then you think, why now? You know, why not later when I didn't have to pay excess, because then we could write off the car and get a new car, it would be fine. But you can respond to the sinful world. The world that we live in is just going to have mistakes. Things don't go perfectly. So we must learn that. The tough times happen because of that. And how do we respond to that? And then number three, attacks from Satan and the powers of darkness. Especially when we start to step out as Christians. You know what? The evil one doesn't like it. Whether we're in Pakistan or Afghanistan or whether we're just here in South Africa, the devil doesn't like the fact that we are serving Christ. And so he's on our case a little bit. So that's also why tough times happen, just because of the evil one coming against us. And then number four is specifically persecution. And as I say, we don't have a reference. We don't know real persecution. But that also causes tough times to happen. So how are you responding to tough times in your life? How are you responding right now? And are you ready to rejoice? Because that's the first thing. It's going to be an event and it's going to cause you to have a response. Rejoice. And then James goes on and he says, knowing, why must you rejoice? So the question is why? Why do we need to rejoice? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. This is a big word. Endurance is a big word in the Bible. If you're a long distance athlete, you'll know about endurance. Endurance is not easy. But the testing of your faith produces endurance inside of you. Romans 5 verse 3, Paul goes on, he says, knowing the exact same thing, that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce in you patient and unswerving endurance. See, I want to ask you this morning, if you had to walk a path with someone, if you had to choose, I'm not talking about a life partner necessarily in marriage, I'm talking just about someone that you want to walk with, you want to do life with. Are you going to choose someone who's up and down emotionally, unpredictable, moves on quickly, just wanting to have the next best thing or the exciting thing? Or are you going to choose someone who pushes through, someone who doesn't give up, someone who remains committed, someone who's faithful, someone who's got this that he's talking about? Endurance, faithfulness, steadfastness, someone who remains committed. I think all of us will realize that we're going to choose the person who's going to stick by us, the person who's enduring to the end. Isn't that so? And you see, tough times in our lives produce this. Tough times produce character traits that everyone is looking for, especially Christ. Christ is looking for this. It's called endurance. Another word for it is steadfastness or patience or perseverance. In fact, in Revelation, the Bible talks about this whole thing of overcoming. We are called to be overcomers. Amen. And the great news for us this morning is that tough times, the Bible is clear, produce in us this endurance. See, God is not into quick fixes. We live in a world where we just want the quick fixes. And yes, you know, God does miracles. God is able to meet us like in the moment, and our lives are changed like this. It's amazing, you know, when you get saved or get filled with the Holy Spirit, or you have a miracle happen, or you just out, you know, you fall over and you're just like in the Spirit, and God does incredible stuff in your life. He can do that. But that is so that you can start a relationship with Him, or that you can awaken the relationship in Him. Isn't that so? So there's an event. There's always an event. Salvation is awesome because we, like we heard there on the baptism testimony last year, Danae, she was touched by God in that event that we organized. And now she's baptized, following Christ, loving Christ. But you see, God is not into quick fixes when it comes to our relationship with Him. He doesn't want us to be instant. He wants us to walk that path of overcoming, a path of endurance. I'll never forget when our son Matthew was about 8 months old, just before we moved to Bloemfontein. We were actually, like on an outreach, and he just started to get sick, and he was just throwing up, and he was so sick. And when we got back to Pretoria that weekend, we just had to take him to a hospital and quickly get him booked in because he was so dehydrated and everything. And then they said to him, you know, he's got the RS virus, that the medical people know. His lungs were so messed up, and he had to stay in hospital for a whole week, 5 days, 5 nights. And like as young parents, you know, you're like, this is so sad. Every night we had to say goodbye to him because we just didn't see chance to sleep over. And I guess we had to be cruel to be kind. I think parents that are sleeping over there, I think it's even tougher. And so we had to like say goodbye to him and trust him at night that the sisters would look after him, that he would be fine. And it was so difficult. But you know, in that week, it was just amazing. I just realized, you know, God is faithful and we don't have to stress. We had so much peace and he was there for 5 days. Had to have physio to get all the stuff out of his lungs and take medication. He was on like that little drip thing. But you know, our kids handle this is so amazing. And he encouraged us kind of thing. He couldn't speak really at the time, but just trying to tell us, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm fine. I'm going to survive. But it taught us something. It taught us that, you know, God is into changing us. God is into shaping something in our lives when the tough times happen. And for 5 days, it's like you just trust that your son's going to come right and that he's not going to die. And after 5 days, he comes out and we go on holiday and he recovers and the seed did him good as well. And God was good. God healed him and he's fine. But you know, that those tough times help you to realize God is into doing something in our lives. He's into having this pressure and this stuff, this affliction and this hardship produce in us an endurance that is amazing. Then we are able to say at the end of that, you know, bring it on. Bring on the tough times. We can handle it to a degree. We're still not perfect, but we will handle the next one and the next one and the next one. 1 Peter 4:13, it says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering. See, Christ wants us to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Isn't that so? You know, these days we want to know the power of His resurrection. That's all we want to know. Miracles and healings, and also we want to know the power of Christ's resurrection. That's all we... Then we know Christ if we know the power of His resurrection. But guess what? He doesn't say that. Paul actually writes and says, I want you to know the power... Or Christ wants you to know the power of His resurrection and to enter into the fellowship of His suffering. How many of us run away from suffering? How many of us say, suffering must just be quick because I can't take this and we're not supposed to suffer and we're not supposed to have tough times because we're overcomers and we, you know, we have abundant life. But you see, overcoming isn't when that suffering's finished. Overcoming happens during the suffering. The overcoming is really tested during the suffering. The fruit, it's like when you squeeze a fruit, you know, there's something that comes out. Juice comes out when you squeeze that fruit. So what is coming out of you when you squeeze, when tough times and suffering and challenging times happen, what is coming out? That's why I asked you, and how did you react to the last tough time that you had? And what fruit did it produce in you? Because I see, I'm, you know, I deal with Christians, I'm in the ministry, okay? So I see fruit coming out of people when tough times happen. I see certain fruits. It's not always good. But I know God is working. And so we don't judge and condemn. But then you realize, God, you've still got a way to go with this person. So bring on the discipleship. Bring on the what we have to do is to allow Christ to be formed in us. But you see, Christ's sufferings are so important for us to identify. And I don't say we have to have persecution and all of that. But I just say we need to enter into the place where Christ came to this earth. He suffered just to be here. You know, a perfect God sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, this perfect life, and He comes down to this imperfect earth with weird people. Christ suffered before He had to suffer on the cross. Christ suffered just by coming to earth. The fact that He was born as a baby in a manger, I mean, that was for the Son of God and this glorious God. They were suffering to come to earth. And then He suffered when He was tempted and when He was hated and rejected and reviled and all of that, you know, just because He came to bring an alternative message to what the world wanted to hear. So He suffered a little bit. So I believe tough times are a place of rejoicing. Why? Because we can understand what Christ went through. Amen. We can understand Christ's sufferings and Christ's life that He lived, sharing in His suffering. So I want to ask you this morning, will you surrender to that process of character formation, of endurance in your life, where there's a process and it's lifelong. Unfortunately, it's not going to end until we see Christ face to face. It's going to happen continuously. And you might be going through a good time now, and I don't want to say you're going to go through a tough time soon. I'm just saying there will be challenges, there will be tough times coming, But you know, it's a chance to test your character, to see what does Christ still need to do in your life. So that's the second one, is that we need to surrender to that process of character formation. And then lastly, James finishes off in verse 4 and he says, but endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Sure, that's amazing. Complete work. Maturity, completeness, lacking nothing. Anyone like that? I want you to pray for me. But none of us have come to this place where we're lacking nothing. None of us are perfectly mature and perfectly complete. But endurance needs to have its way in our lives so that we can become mature. Paul writes it here and he says, in endurance, fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit, and here it is again, joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. And Peter says the same thing, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. The first thing we need to do is to respond to that event that happens. That tough time that comes, that's the first thing. How are you going to respond? The Bible says rejoice. Second thing is we need to surrender with our hearts. So you respond with your mouth, eh? You respond with your mouth by rejoicing. Rejoicing isn't a feeling. Rejoicing is a choice to praise God in the tough times. Isn't that so? So when the event happens, you respond with your voice and you say, I'm going to rejoice. And rejoicing isn't being all happy and all nice and denying the pain, denying the suffering. It's a response of worship. It's a response from our mouths where we say, God, I don't know. I don't understand. But you're in control. Then the second thing is we need to surrender with our hearts. We need to say, okay, God, I surrender because I need you to do open heart surgery. I need you to change my life. I need you to cause maturity to happen in my life. That's what I'm allowing you to do, God. I'm surrendering with my heart. And then with our eyes, in the spirit I'm talking about, we need to look at the end goal. What is the end goal of all of this? What is God's plan? Why all these tough times? Why pain, suffering, persecution, attacks? Why can't God just make a perfect world now? Because God can. God can make all things perfect, just even with us staying on earth. Okay, He'd have to make us perfect, obviously, because if we're imperfect, then the earth wouldn't be perfect anymore. But why does Christ allow this? Why does Christ want us to be changed? He wants us to be like Him. Isn't that so? Wants us to have this maturity and this character where we will have a habit of joyful and hope. We all know that this life is not all there is. And that's why it's so important to have a focus on eternity and not think that this life must be the best or the perfect. This life isn't going to be perfect. I think some of us are offended with God. I'm not saying you are now, but you know, it's easy for Christians to get offended with God because we have this expectation that we're going to have the best life now. Everything's going to be great now. Everything's going to be fine. And God says, tough times are going to happen. And He wants, God's ideal for us is that Christ be formed in us, that we become Christ. So I want to share with you, we've been talking as leaders the last while about what is our focus as a church, and specifically in small groups. You know, we want, what is the win for us as a church? What is the win for our small groups? How what are we supposed to have happen in a small group? And I believe God has given us a win. So I'm just sharing with you. We're still talking through this stuff, but we're going to clarify that all of us get this. Our win for our small group specifically is that Christ be formed in us. Galatians 4:19. Paul says he's laboring in birth for Christ to be formed in those people. So I believe what we want out of our small groups, what we want out of our church, what we want in our culture, in our church, I believe is that Christ be formed in us. Isn't that so? And I see this, yeah, I see that suffering and pain and tough times can also help and really push us if we surrender to a place where Christ is formed in us. So I'm excited about what God is sharing with us because I believe that is why we're here. We're here that Christ be formed in us. We're not here to do church and have a program and have nice stuff. We hear that Christ is formed in us. And the same thing happens to a degree in church. You know, Christ is formed in us. But for church, we've got a different one. I'll share that with you some other time. Okay, watch the space. But ultimately, for our small groups, and if we We want to make disciples. You know, I don't want to use the word discipleship anymore because discipleship is so, you know, we talk about disciples. We don't really know what a disciple is. But I believe a disciple is someone who's had Christ formed in them and who's continually having Christ formed in them. Because I think if Christ is formed in you, you will go change the world. You will witness. You will worship. You will lay down your life. You will do what Christ did. It's as simple as that. But I believe for this sermon this morning is this is what Christ wants. He wants to be formed in us. He wants us to be like Him. There's another purpose for that as well. Look at that now. So we need to look with our eyes, spiritual eyes, at the goal. Why are we suffering? Because Christ wants to be formed in us. And tough times bring us to this place where we can keep our eyes on that goal. What are some of the benefits of tough times? Four things I wrote down here. First of all, they test our character and our revelation of God. You know why you must rejoice in tough times? Tough times is like an examination. You know, all of us, you know, I hear students these days, and I'm just thinking, you know, people study, and even where's Ter now? Ter's probably at the kids' church, you know, he's doing MBA. You know, yesterday some of the medical students came to the Boedermark with us, or, you know, medical and architectural guys. I don't know. There's so many students studying very hard in our church. And I'm just saying to my wife, I'm so glad I'm not a student anymore. Because I've got Saturday off. Okay, I work on a Sunday. But, you know, I love what I do on a Sunday. It's so nice to talk to you guys. But I love to prepare sermons. That's not studying for me. That's the joy. But, you know, these guys that have to study, and you know what waits at the end of their studies? A massive examination to test whether they studied well or not. You know that nervous feeling you get before exams? Am I good enough? And you know that rejection that comes up before? What if I fail? But you see, tough times are like an examination. Tough times are exactly that. They cause us to just reflect on where am I with life? Am I passing life or am I failing life? Whether you're a believer or not. Because if you're not a believer and you go through tough times, you know, if you don't have Christ, I don't know, fail, you know, like, not because you don't have Christ, just because how can you do life without having a Savior? How can you go through a tough time without knowing the one who's authored life? It's difficult. I just feel sorry for unbelievers. So let's go witness to unbelievers because they need Christ. But you see, it tests our character and it tests our revelation of who God really is, because tough times are an awesome exam. So are we passing that exam? Are we revealing what is in us, a good stuff, or is bad stuff coming out? If bad stuff's coming out, it's okay. You're at the right place. Christ will take you to where good stuff starts to come out. That's the first thing. Then second thing, tough times present massive opportunities. Sorry, that's number three. Tough times develop character, maturity, and Christ-likeness. We've just spoken about that. Tough times are awesome. We can rejoice because it's an opportunity for us to grow into maturity, to become like Christ. But no, we want the good times. No, we want things to just work out now. It must just be smooth, you know, free flowing in the spirit. Yeah, you know, if we're going it, it's cool, man. But you know what happens then? I, me, myself. Look how great I am. Or life is just happening. And yes, you know, we just get so focused on ourselves. But when tough times happen, then we truly see our character. We truly see how are we growing in Christ. And yes, we can grow in Christ. We can rejoice. We can embrace this. And then number three, tough times present awesome opportunities to witness. I've heard of stories, you know, where people lose babies, you know, like the baby dies at birth or whatever. It's happened in our church, not in this church, in our other churches in our movement, where people have lost, young couples have lost their first child through whatever went wrong at the birth, but where they're just getting together and they say, God, we don't understand. We're so broken now, but God, we worship you. We come together and we just worship you. And what a witness that is to the world. Amen. What a witness when something bad happens to you and you rejoice. You respond by worshiping. You respond by not questioning God, getting all upset and cynical and, you know, getting offended. You rejoice and you worship God. And you say, God, I really don't understand, but I know you. I think that's the most amazing witness to the world. I think we should embrace tough times. We should embrace, and even when persecution or if persecution comes, I mean, just think of all those Christians that are worshiping as they die, going to their death, worshiping. And that's what the martyrs did. That's what the apostles did. That's why these guys could write this. Because it happened in their lives. They had to rejoice until their deathbed. Stephen just going to his deathbed and being stoned and bruised. And I mean, imagine the feeling of being stoned until you die. It's not a quick process. But worshiping God and saying, God, I'm going to witness for you. I'm going to use this opportunity to witness. And I want to say this morning that if there's people going through tough times, you know what? It's an opportunity to witness. It's an opportunity where people say, but you're supposed to be down in the dumps. You're supposed to be killing yourself now because times are so tough. And you say, you know what? I know God who reigns. I know God who rules. God is amazing. And then, lastly, it sums all of it up. That's what I want to get to this morning. That's the crux of my message. There's a reason why Christ must be formed in us. There's a reason why our character must grow, and where we need to have that exam to check where are we really? Who are we living for? How are we living life? Why are we witnessing? Why do we lead people to Christ? Why do we tell about God? Because for this reason, there's one ultimate purpose for living. There's one ultimate purpose for rejoicing in tough times. It's because of this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The ultimate purpose for living is that we can glorify God. Isn't that amazing? See, then suffering comes into perspective. Then it's not about our tough, our times, or comparing with other people, or thinking, yes, why is my life not a little bit better? Why am I like I am? Why do I seem like just such a mistake? Or, you know, why do I feel so rejected? Why do I feel I'm not making a difference? It's not about that. It's about glorifying God. See, we can rejoice in tough times by responding with our mouths in worship, surrendering our hearts, and then looking with our eyes and seeing the end goal. Christ being formed in us for His glory and His purpose. So I want to say that this morning. I really want to encourage all of us this morning that when we're talking about life and celebrating life, you know, so many times we miss out on celebrating the tough times. So many times we miss out. We wait to celebrate and to rejoice when things are good. I want to say God is taking us to a new season. God is taking us to a season where we can rejoice when times are tough. We can rejoice and be a witness and glorify His name. So I want to say this morning, I trust that in all of us, Christ will be formed so that we can glorify God. Because we're not going to really glorify God unless Christ is forming us. We're always going to glorify ourselves, isn't that so? We're always going to focus more on ourselves and live more for our plans and our dreams and our desires, but Christ needs to be glorified, formed in us that He can glorify. So I want you to think about this, because your next challenge is coming your way at a cinema near you. Watch the space. And it might not be a great tough time, it might not be a loss of someone. I'm not going to speak death over you, but I want to say when times get tough and when things go wrong and you bump a car, or you know, you get sick or you get injured or you get hurt or something, I want to say, rejoice. And keep your heart and your eyes and your mind focused on what Christ wants to do. Keep your response. You know, because you know when tough times come, what is our response? The first thing, let's be honest now, we complain. Okay, I'm number one. No. Why? Yes, sir. And then I complain to my wife and she has to just intercede and pray, although she rebukes me first and then she prays. It's wonderful to be married. You get kept on the straight and narrow. But you see, we complain. We confess. We don't confess life with our mouths. And this thing of rejoicing is amazing, because it's not about being happy. It's about rejoicing and saying, Christ, I know You. I'm going to worship You. When my car gets bumped, or when things go wrong, or I don't get paid, or you know my boss is bad, or our studies are struggling, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to start to glorify You through everything. So respond with your mouth. Respond to that event that happens, and then surrender to the process. Surrender your heart to the process of sanctification, of endurance being formed in you, character being formed in you, and then keep your eyes throughout that process. Keep your eyes on that goal. God will be must be glorified. Christ following God. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your word that is so clear, Lord. Thank you that you speak to our hearts this morning, God. And I pray right now, Lord, that if, Lord, there's anyone right here going through a tough time right now, Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself to them, Lord, in that situation right now, Lord. I pray that you would show them the next step. I pray that you'd show them, Lord, to really start to rejoice, God, to speak life, God, to worship you, Lord, to glorify you, even though it doesn't feel right. It just feels like they need to complain and need to be so frustrated and so challenged, Lord, and always so down, Lord. But I thank you for rejoicing, Lord. I thank you for a joy to lift up, Lord, from this place and from every heart. And Lord, those who are going through the process, God, I pray that they would surrender more and more their hearts, Lord, to what you want to do, Lord. I pray for endurance to be formed in every life, God. And I pray that they would be encouraged to look at Jesus all the time, to look at the end goal, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because you want yourself, Lord Jesus, to be formed inside of each one. So I pray this morning, Lord, for your spirit to come and, Lord, to change what needs to be changed. Lord, mouths need to start confessing, Lord, and start worshiping, Lord. Hearts need to surrender. Not to struggle and wrestle and almost just wish the situation away, but to surrender to your perfect time. And Lord, eyes need to look up and see what you're doing. Eyes need to look up and see the end goal and to see Christ being formed in each one of us. Lord, and we as a church, Lord, we want to be a witness to this world. We want to be a witness to this city that, Lord, bad things will also happen to us, God. We're not exempt. We're still in this world. The good news this morning, Lord, is that because of Jesus, we are not of this world anymore. We've been born again, born into a new dispensation, a new life, Lord, a new culture. And we thank you that you've taken us out of darkness, Lord, and we choose this morning to rejoice every tough time that comes our way. We choose that right in Jesus' name. I want you to close your eyes right there where you are. And if you need prayer this morning, if you're going through a tough time, then I want you to be honest. You need to be honest about that, because so many times I really believe in the charismatic movement, you know, we have to be so, like, you know, we just have to be unreal and say, you know, nothing tough happens to us. We perfect. We spirit-filled. Life is always good. And that's just such a lie. Because you know what? Christ wants to be glorified through your tough time. So if you're going through a tough time, I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. If you're going through a challenging time right now, I'd love you to just be honest. Just show God. So I believe he's going to meet you there where you are. Just thanks for those hands. I want to see, there's more people here this morning. You're not honest with God. I want you to be honest right now this morning. Thanks. There's people's hands going up. If you're struggling with even small stuff, just recognize that to God. Lord, I just thank you for every hand you've seen right now, Lord. I pray that you would meet everyone right where they're at, Lord. And I pray for a rejoicing, God. Even if it's a small thing, God, I pray that they would not wish it away, but that they would see what you are doing through their lives this morning. I pray that they would see with eyes, Lord, of the Spirit. They would surrender with hearts that are so sold out to your ways, Lord. I pray that they would respond right now. I want you to rejoice. If you're going through a tough time, I want you to worship God in your spirit right there with your mouth. Start to confess and say, God, thank you that you're good. Just worship God for who he is. Say to God who he is. He's good. He's awesome. He's amazing. Just tell him that, because that's your rejoicing. Your face might not change. Your face will follow. We'll sometimes have to follow with the smile, but it's not about the smile. It's just about rejoicing, saying, God, you're good. In this challenge, you're good, God. In this uncertainty, in this hardship, Lord, you are good. Just worship him right there where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you deliver people right now, Lord. Thank you that you give them new perception in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Maybe you this morning, you realize that you've got an incorrect perception of tough times. I want to say it this morning. Don't fall for the lie. Tough times are not there. Unless you've sinned and you've missed God, then you need to repent. But if you're going through a tough time, it's not like you're less of a Christian, or you're worth less, or something's wrong with you. If you're going through a tough time, it's time to glorify God. I want to say that this morning. There's some perceptions here that needs to be changed. And God is saying it's going to be glorified if you choose to do that this morning. Amen. And go and witness to the world this morning. Go and let God use you to witness through your tough times in Jesus' name. Come, let's, Harold, can we sing a song? We're going to rejoice now. Come on. We're gonna worship God now before we finish now. So before you drink coffee, let's sing this last song. And if you're struggling this morning, I want you to worship the Lord. And if you need prayer, I want you to come forward. We're gonna pray with you if you need to agree. But come on, rejoice for often. Amen. Can I have an amen? You're gonna rejoice. Jesus is good. Hallelujah.